Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
As I walk down the sidewalk of a sin-stricken city, I see the misfortunes of men. A man in the gutter, lying there lifeless, clutching a bottle in his hands. He was some mother's darling, maybe some young man's father, but now he's a prisoner to sin. No hugs in the morning, no family altar. He gets by the best that he can. So thank God for the preacher who told me of Jesus, for I'd be a beggar if not for his grace. Lord, help me show others your love and your mercy. Make my life a witness to others, I pray. One day on the corner by an old-fashioned preacher, a prayer for God's mercy was heard. And though his sins were many and his burdens heavy, he took the Lord at his word. The angels rejoiced as he was forgiven. Shouts filled the heavens that day. For I'll never get over the day on the corner, for I was the sinner who prayed. Thank God for the preacher who told me of Jesus, for I'd be a beggar if not for his grace. Show others your love and your mercy. Make my life a witness to others, I pray. Make my life a witness to others, I pray.
Awesome song, amen. You know, if we can have every day filled with love, amen, we can bring love to others, amen. I can't give love to others unless I'm filled with love, amen. If I'm filled with bitterness and hate and just all these things, man, that's what it's going to reflect out of me. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, God says that the mouth speaketh. You know what I'm saying? And if we got a bunch of junk in the abundance of our heart, when we're talking to people, it's going to spew out. Brother Pike, you say, spew out like a Roman candle. You ever seen a Roman candle? They really do some spewing, don't they? Amen. Y'all love the Lord? Hallelujah. I feel good tonight. Amen. We had a good turnout for prayer this evening. Many people here tonight and crying out to the Lord, talking to God, saying, Lord, you know, and I'll tell you what, I feel the strength of that. Amen. I tell you, I really mean that, brethren. I feel the strength of that. It makes me feel good. Amen. Because see, if I come out pouring my heart, but y'all with me, man, just think what we could do for others and help others. Amen. Brother Paul's been stumbling around for years. Good brother. He's a good man. But you know what? We need to all unify together that he can't come around us unless he just feels this overwhelming burden of love and power all over him. Right, Brother Paul? Amen. For he won't stumble no more. I don't want to see him stumble no more, brother. Do you want to see him stumble, Brother Bo? Brother John? Amen. I want to see this be the time. I want to see this be the time for him to start walking in the counsel of God and start walking in the provisions of God and start letting God bless him. The man's talented and gifted and he knows how to make a way. But you know what? There's a lot more than success and finance and business and homes. Yes. Man, we want to be walking in the kingdom. Amen. And what happened to your shaver, son? He should have been here praying tonight, huh? And you say, well, that's the least of his problems. I say, yay and amen, but we're getting rid of all problems. We're going to start making allowances for a little of this and a little of that and a little of that and a little leaven at the whole lump. If I start compromising my shirt sleeves, compromising my facial, compromising my hair length, compromising my dress length, compromising a slit in the back, compromising my music, compromising my conversations on the jobs, compromising. What happens? Satan gets a hold of you. But walk, draw nigh unto the Lord, walk in the counsel of God. He can't touch you. He can't get near you. He can't stop you. Amen. Hallelujah. I still feel good. Amen. You feel good over there? Amen. I love you guys. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word. Father, we thank you for the time that we have before you tonight. Help us, Lord. Bless us. Anoint your word, Lord God. Anoint the ears to hear the word, Father. Let us all take heed and counsel what the Spirit of God would say to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all be seated. You know, a lot of times, brethren, when we allow people to walk in sinful ways, it's not just their soul that's being endangered. Evil communications, we say this all the time, corrupt good manners. And the thing is people can cause other people to fail and to fall. I want to read a couple scriptures here. In Job, I was going to get Chuck to pull some of these up. This is a short scripture. If he wants, it's Job 15:34. It says, "For the congregation of hypocrites shall be desolate, and fire shall consume the tabernacle of bribery." Isaiah 33:15. "He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of opposition, he that shaketh his hands from the holding of bribe, that stoppeth his ears from the hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munition of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His water shall be sure." Now think about this. In the word of God, we're being exhorted. You know, if you do this, this is the return, the expectation of that. Sometimes we're seeking after the provisions, you know. I don't want my meal barrel to run dry. I don't want the curse of oil to ever go slack. Amen? You know, I want this water, this living water. I want this well of water all the time. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we're praying like that, but there's another perspective to this. You know, Satan, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and to devour, and to deceive, to mutilate, to kill. You know, and a lot of times we think he came to kill, steal, and destroy, those three things. But you know, when we think of killing, we always go to murder. But let me tell you something, he can kill your joy. You know, you could be walking in the joy of the Lord, man, and just happy as could be. You know, and I mean, I'm not talking about just a happiness because, you know, the lights are burning, but I'm talking about a real genuine sincerity that just, people see it in your countenance, your shine from it, a joy of the Lord. These things should be in our spirit and our hearts, but there's something that has to be done on our part to release these things. You know, oftentimes you hear me say like, you know, and I just think of the book that Brother Pike, you know, said the key to having faith. The key. Key opens something. And there is a combination, I could say. You know, I like the word key, but you know, there's combinations that also where you know, put some things together and turn a certain way or push a few buttons and it opens up to you. And there's combinations that you could do by loving your enemy, by doing good to hate you, by making yourself available. Those are combinations that are opening up doors of pleasure and prosperity and joy and strength to you. And the thing is, you know, we have to take the full control of our lives and realize that if there's any adversities happen in our life, you know, we could say, oh, it's the devil. But somewhere we have opened up the door to that. Somewhere we have opened up the door for this thing to come against us. The Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he said he does deliver us from them all. So, you know, if some affliction comes or some, oh, you know, I knew you weren't right with God. Well, you got a devil on you for even thinking that way. But the way a righteous man thinks and the way a godly man thinks, the way a Christian thinks, is if If these things are taking place, instead of looking out, well, why is this happening to me? Oh, we got bad government, we got bad society, we got bad, you know, bad this, bad that, bad this. And we put on, we say, no, first check here. Okay, God, you know, what's happening? Is your prosperity that comes from heaven dependent on the nation prospering? Is it dependent on Wall Street prospering? Is it dependent on the housing market being good? Absolutely not, brethren. We're affected by those things, yes, but we stand and we press and we pray and we push and we keep on going. God has held us. God has kept us. We could testify the Lord. Amen. But you know, there's things that we got to consider. You know, I want to be concerned for others. This way, say, brethren, Brother Bo or Brother John or Brother Andy, brother, it doesn't matter. You could say, I'm with you, Brother Rob. I want to help you win souls. And I say, okay, well, we that win souls are wise. So you help me in this aspect, or you help me in this aspect. But if we're not careful, even though our heart's right and we believe that we're helping, we use these terms. I'm not a psychologist, but they say that sometimes people enable people. I just had to talk with a mother the other day. And I said, you know, when your son, you know, he's old enough, when he decides that he wants to do this, I said, I've seen it ruin homes. A son gets in rebellion against God. He goes out and gets drugged up. He starts robbing and cheating. He goes to get put in jail. Mom and dad start putting himself in hawking and debt to pay an attorney. It's not cheap to get an attorney. And I know, brethren, we get in travail with people that ain't worth travailing for. But that's because we have God's love. Because I wasn't worth travailing for. But he did. He loved me when I was in my sin. So yes, I'm not trying to stop or make us come to a thing that, oh, we just look at him and say, ah, you've done it, you know, go to hell. You know what I'm saying? If so, then we could do that. Well, you're a dog anyway, you need to go to hell. Ah, you done it, you know, go lay in your own bed. There's a time for that. We want to be led by the Spirit if we do that. There is a time that sometimes they need to face the consequences of their foolishness. I remember this, and I'm just bringing it to a personal level here, I guess. But the electricity was out and ice on the ground. I know you've all heard the story, but my son comes showing up in my home about 2 o'clock in the morning. I hear noise. I hear some rattle around. He knew where a key was hit, and he comes slipping through the back door when we lived off over on Bean Road down there. And I hear him come out and get up, and I walk up. I get up and I walk in. I go, hey, what's up, man? My electricity was out too, but I had a gas fireplace. My house was warm. And he said, Dad, he said, man, I got no electricity. And man, it's cold. And I walked up to him and liquor's just reeking off of him. And I said, well, son, wherever you was drinking at, it must have been warm. That's where you need to go back to. I wept before the Lord. It broke my heart to put my son out. But I wasn't going to allow him to defy my home. Because once you allow them to defy it, you know what? It won't stop there. They're going to go a little bit more. They're going to go a little bit more. They're going to go a little bit more. And then they think you're ignorant. And then they're going to start mocking you and spewing in your face and doing those things. And I'm going to do my best to guard over you and your homes and help you in these situations. Amen. We all want to make our homes available to the lost. We want to make them available to people. But brethren, we're going to have to make some analyzations. If we see a man growing in the grace and knowledge of God and drawing nigh to the Lord and resisting the devil and pressing his way in, we could expect some fall, some stumble. We got grace and mercy. But when they just mock and lightly esteem and think that they're smarter than you and conning you, then we're going to do something different about it. And we'll bring the sword promptly. Woe unto you that hold the sword back from blood and start shedding some blood. Amen. And we need to start praying together more so and praying for some of these people and saying, God, burn their fields. Burn their fields, Lord. God, brethren, burn their fields on this side. They might have a chance to make it into the kingdom. Amen. Amen. You could expect problems in your life, it says, which goeth in company with the workers of iniquity and walk with wicked men. Let's go to Psalms, the first chapter, the first verse. Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So what happens when you are doing those things? I do this often, brethren. I've reversed the scriptures and reversed the word. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. How about if I say, damned is the man that walketh in the counsel of the ungodly? Wouldn't that be appropriate? Come on, brothers. Wouldn't that be a lot of times we just don't look at things properly. But I'll tell you what, it's like Brother Pike told Brother Steve. Steve's in prison right now. He said, young man, he goes, I'm going to tell you, when you think the grace of God's with you, because you just keep on and you keep on and you keep on and you think the grace of God's with you. But he said, it's going to turn and judgment's going to come. And it's going to be just as slow to turn, he said. It's going to be just as slow to turn as it was for you, because he kept on going, mocking the preacher, mocking the things of God, mocking the word of God, lightly esteeming the man of God, pouring his heart out, coming into church and going out like a dog to the vomit, going back out to the drink and the party and the whoremongering, the carousing, putting away women, sleeping with other men's wives, a filthy slop hole. And now he cries and repents. And yeah, we got on board trying to help the brother, showing the love of God, trying to help him. Amen. But you see, he should have yielded to the counsel of God. It turned. Amen. Things turned. And he found himself in judgment. Oh, you know, being incarcerated now, he's been for over or right around 10 years or whatever it is. Okay, so you say, wow, been beat 5 times, I think, in there. Bad, where they've taken him to the hospital, been stabbed, been busted up, head sewed up. He said the last time they took him was banging his head into a bed frame. He said he went unconscious, and finally they got somebody in there to help him. They tried to kill him. What do you say about that? I say, my Lord is on the throne. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand. Praise God. Amen. That Lord is allowing him to pay for his sin on this side. Amen. You see, are you really mocking and laughing on his day of calamity? I'm saying my God has his way, brethren, in all things. And I would tell you this, if you could see a man in hell, in eternal damnation for all of eternity, amen, you would rejoice to think that God would allow that wink of a punishment of having your veins brashed out. Even if they killed him, would be the mercy of God. If he shortened the number of his days, would be the mercy of God. If God beheaded him, if he took his legs off, if he plucked his eyeballs out, whatever, would be the mercy of God if he allowed it for his sinful, ignorant ways on this side. You understand that? Instead, the Bible said some men's sins go before and some after. After, you know what that means? It means on the other side. And he said, I never knew you. Ye that work iniquity, depart from me. So which one would you say is the mercy of God? It's mercy, brethren. Bible said obedience is better than sacrifice. We can continue to walk in our ignorance and our flesh and our foolishness, and we're going to find sacrifice. Sacrifice is what you're going to find in your life. Amen. Some come in by sacrifice. Amen. Sometimes it's death. Sometimes it's the loss of loved ones. Sometimes it's the loss of limbs. Sometimes it's the loss of health. Sometimes there's so many things, brethren. But praise God, amen. We need to get real with God. We need to start praying, just like prayed for Kevin tonight. You know, pray, God, burn his fields. Amen. He's letting some Jezebel spirit lead him around. You know, men need to be a man. You know, they act all bad, masculine, got some woman leading them around. We got men to come into this place, want to tell you how spiritual their wives are, for they can feel justified into submitting to them when they're wicked. A wicked woman, when she wants to command, when she puts reins on the ministry of a man of God, the man don't fit to be the ministry. The Bible said many are called, but few are chosen. A man like that ain't chosen. He'll never be chosen of God. Oh man, I got a calling. I got an anointing, man. I could preach, you know. You know what? I see that all the time, but I'm looking for the choosing of God. Amen. The gifts of God can go without repentance. The man ain't repented of being under the subjection of a woman. He ain't never repented of that. The gifts will still move in his life. He can still preach. He could prophesy. He could lay hands on people and they recover. But brethren, that's not the vindication of the choosing. Come on now. You say, oh man, but there's an anointing there. You want to talk about that? Come on now, we could talk about that if you want, but I think we'll refrain, amen? Praise God. I want you to put the Bible on Proverbs, the first chapter now. I guess we're going to hit the first chapter of some of these books, huh? Proverbs and Psalms, and amen? Proverbs chapter 1. Let's go to verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Boy, right there we'd have some big victory. Psalms again, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. What does that mean, to standeth in the way of sinners? You see, the last increase we got of several men here in this church, we had several come in. We had all these guys come in, they're getting together, and we opened up a slop hole. We just put a slop hole right here on our own property, trying to help people with our heart right with God, trying to help people, and they get together and laugh and mock and drink and smoke on our properties and defy us. You know what? God's sick of it. God's going to start tearing some heads. But brethren, you're responsible first. Brother John, Brother Bo, Brother Andy, Brother Rob. We're responsible. We need to be on our face before God. Like we was like praying together, saying, I'm praying for these guys. Because I know what's coming next. It's the axe to the root of the tree. And if they're not going to bring forth the fruit of God, and fruit of holiness, and the fruit of righteousness, then they're standing in the way, hindering others to come in. Maybe we could have saved some of them other guys. But when we got people wanting to smoke dope and drink right here and talk about and running down here to the stinking crack houses, and then they're laughing and mocking, and the guys that we're pouring our heart out for, spending our time and our substance for, they're leading them into hell. And that means that we're not doing our job. We're not doing our job, my friend. We need to get serious about what we're doing here. When we bring a man on our job sites, we need to be serious about what we're doing. If he wants to listen to filthy music, you need to run him off. If he wants to drink and smoke and snort, run him off. We don't want people standing in the way of sinners. Amen? Y'all love the Lord? This is the love of God. Verse 1 again. We might be able to do some good here tonight, huh? Amen. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. There's a lot said there. I've got people that I love, people that are friends, people that are family, that are ungodly. And they get together and they intermingle, they talk together and stuff, and they mock me. They mock, when they're mocking me, they're mocking God. And the Bible said God's not mocked. They lightly esteem and mock this. Oh, yeah, you know, hey, praise God, man, I've been liberated from that. Well, I tell you, it's a wonderful day, the day I left Christian Temple, man. I got liberty. Man, I feel good. And, man, I can do what I want. You know, praise God, man, I go over this church, I go over that church, man, but, you know, man, praise God, the blessings of God are still with me. Wait until you're burying your wife. Wait until you're burying your husband. Wait until you're burying your child. Huh? Wait until you have to roll in a wheelchair or on crutches. You know, wait until those things come, huh? Wait until your world falls down and you try to cry out to God and you can't find repentance and you can't find God and you can't find peace and you find torment. Wait until the doctor says there ain't no more he could do for you and your liver's failing on the inside or your kidneys are rotting out on the inside or your lungs are collapsing on the inside because you've rebelled and stiff-necked the living God. Amen. And then you'll think, boy, I should have been obedient. Because now I'm in the mode of sacrifice. I should have been obedient unto God. Amen. Praise God, saints. Amen. You see, let me explain what this message is tonight. You think this message is the rebuke to the ones that are failing? Absolutely yes. And absolutely not all. It's to Brother Andy and Brother Rob. Brother Randy, Brother Ed. You see, brethren, we're going to have to make godly analyzations. Amen. We got to make some godly analyzations. And when we see something that is defying our move, our cause, our work, we're a holiness people, brethren. We are a people of holiness. We are a people of God. These are our convictions. If we're not in agreement with these convictions, then go somewhere where you're not defying the work of God. Let me share some things. There's some scriptural references here that may help us out. I'm going to read verse 1 more time. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You say, man, I've never sat in the seat of the scornful. Sometimes your driver's seat in your truck becomes that. Sometimes the passenger seat in your truck comes that. When you got some reprobate sitting there with you, say, well, you know, Brother Rob's all right. I really love him. That's the way they start out, Brother Bo. Oh, Brother Andy Beach, he's a pretty good guy, man. I love him, man. Oh, praise God, because you say you love him. Now you can puke on him. Somebody needs to start being a man, and you need to knock the slop out of them. You heard it from the sacred desk. I mean, knock the slop out of them right out of the stinking truck. I don't care if you're 25 miles from town. Kick them out of the truck and say, brother, find your way home. Here's 20 bucks if you want to be nice and throw it on the ground. Get you a taxi. But you're in the seat of the scornful when they start running their mouth against the brotherhood and the work of God. Well, I'm not in agreement with this. Well, good. Go somewhere else. Amen. We spend money to get you here. We'll spend money to get you out of here. Amen. Let's get real with this thing. Let's start protecting over what we have. This is precious, my friends. This is anointed. This is God. This is blessed. But we could allow people to defy it. And we could be numbered with that church that was just spoken there of hypocrites. We just read about in Job 15:34, it says, for the congregation of the hypocrites shall be desolate, and fire shall consume the tabernacle of bribery. Okay, now Proverbs verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Enter not into the path for the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Amen. That's some counsel of the word. That's the counsel of the word. Don't you know, Brother Greg, let me tell you what Satan looks like. Okay? As children, we send them to Sunday schools around America, and they give them this mental picture that he's got a pitchfork, a forked-looking thing. He's got horns. He's got a long tail with a point on it. He usually wears a wet red vest. Amen? They're not needing to teach that stuff. What they need to teach the little guys and the little girls, you understand what I'm saying? It's the little boy that comes over to visit your little girl, and he's got all of the expensive clothing with all the name brand names on it, and he's got his hat cocked like they teach him in Hollywood. Amen? And he dresses like the world. He looks like the world. He talks like the world. He jives like the world. There's Satan. Right there you have seen the manifestation of the Antichrist spirit in your home to destroy your families. That's what needs to be taught. And then you want to teach your little boys. It's the pretty little girl that gets the stiff bras to push them up a little bit higher. And it's the ones that want to go to the beauty parlors all the time to make themselves project and look good. And they want to press the preacher all the time. And they want to press them with their hair. They want to press them with their jewelry. And so that's the Satan. That's the Antichrist. I'm sick of them coming into my church and trying to defy the house of God. This is the house of God, and it's a house of holiness and the house of prayer. Let's give God a hand. Amen. Come on, saints of God. We need to get angry with the stinking wicked. Amen. Praise God. See what happens when you come to the house of God and you pray. Can we? I love you. This is a prayer of love. Proverbs 16th chapter, verse 29. A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. Come on now. You know, sometimes ministering to men, you have to show strength. You're not going to wink at their masculinity. I remember I was preaching in that prison. They told me they had 185 inmates in there. We had every kind of man in there. We had murderers in there, sodomites in there, perverts in there, pedophiles in there, rapists in there. We had every kind of wretched man there was. And I preached strong. And I preached against sin. Preached hard. Oh yeah, I'm sure that just a couple of them could have took me right off the scene. Dude, I'm doing life anyway, man. I'm going to shut you up. And I say, praise God, man. I surely ain't afraid of that. Amen. I don't have any fear of that, brother. When I was in the Philippines, they were taking me over to Mindanao. And the preachers, they had a prayer meeting. I'm wondering why I wasn't invited. And they all got together and said, they'll kill that guy over there, man. He's too bold. He's out here on the streets, man, preaching. I mean, I was raising my voice up. I took a cordless mic out, and I'm on the streets. I walked out from under the shelter and the thing where all the big speakers were. I mean, come on, give Brother Rob Coons a microphone and put speakers up 15 foot in the sky. And I'm not exaggerating. I mean, they put two van loads of speakers stacked up. You know, what do you want me to do, whisper? Son, I thought, hey, they want the whole town to hear? Yeah, a lot of them are Catholics. And I told them all that was praying to Mary were going to hell. She couldn't help them. They come out cursing. They did. They come out and they were cursing and screaming and yelling. And you know, and I didn't slow down. I went out from under and I got out and pointing at them now. I left the congregation, the people, up underneath this big sports. There's a basketball court thing. And I left them all under that thing. And I went out under this. And the little lady goes to my wife and says, they're going to kill him out there, man. You need to get him and stop him. She goes, I ain't messing with him when he's like that. I ain't messing with that, amen. Well, Brother Troy, I mean, he's not no little man by no means. He said, man, I'm scared. I had no fear. I was preaching the gospel, amen. You know, you say, that's ignorant, Brother Rob. You can call it whatever you want. I was preaching the gospel. Amen. But we had an altar full of people. We had people repenting and crying out to God. Amen. That's what we want to see, brethren. We want to see people repenting and crying out to God, turning away from their sins. Amen. Chapter 16, verse 29, again, still in Proverbs. A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. You know what way that is? Do I need to define that? I don't think a guy's going to be sitting in hell going, this is not good. He's going to know it's not good. Amen. Amen. Chapter 28, again, the book of Proverbs, verse 10. Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. Praise God. But the upright shall have good things in possession. Amen. Come on now, saints of God. It sounds like I'm mocking myself now or laughing on their calamities. You understand what I'm saying? But brethren, we're going to have to get really real here. We want an increase in the kingdom. We want to win more souls. And we're going to subject our brotherhood here and our families and our children to things just by trying to reach out to these people. I thought I was going to have a man here with us tonight. He just got out of prison. I really ministered to him. 45 minutes on the phone ministering to him. In one hand, it looked like I was drawing him in. The other hand, it looked like I'm pushing him out. But I owed it to him. Say, look, if you're just looking for a place to lay your head, You know, if you're just looking for a place, you know, I know you've been a con man, you've been incarcerated and locked up. If you think you're going to come here and con us, I said, no, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. I said, we'll love you and help you if you want an opportunity. He thought like this would sound like what he wanted. Sometimes they think about it. We just got to get away from the smoking and the doping and the drinking and the cursing and the lying and the cheating. Amen? That's what we got to get away from, brethren. We got to hate it. We got to hate even the garments that are spotted with the iniquities. Amen? I'm going to read 28:10 one more time. Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. But the upright shall have good things in possession. 1 John 2:26 says, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Maybe we need to go over and read the whole chapter. It's in the nature of a man to seduce. It's in the makeup of a man to seduce. He wants to seduce his boss. He wants to seduce women. He wants to seduce people. It's a thrust. It's a rush. You understand that? A guy that gets strung out on drugs, he's looking for that rush. He's looking for that thing. I had a friend that was probably one of the worst tailbearers that ever was. He was a tailbearer. He would get some information about, man, you hear about Brother Paul Stone, man, this and that. And I mean, tell you, it lit him up. It did. It lit him up. I mean, it's just like he lit up and illuminated. And man, I'll tell you what, it was like he was, you know, and he's doing like this, man, and it's just like he can't get to the phone fast enough. And he's going to start speed dialing. Come on now. And he goes, man, did you hear this? Did you hear this? Did you hear this? Did you hear this? That's Satan. That is Satan. Even if the report's true, it's Satan. The Bible said, remove the tailbearer and the strife will cease. Tailbearer, people think that it's a lie. That's not the truth. That's not what it's saying. Brethren, if Brother John here falls into some kind of a snare or something like that, we need to fall on our face before God and pray for our brother. But we want to go and slander him to everybody. What, does that make us look better? You find the same spirit. A guy goes out on your towel. Look at that, man. Andy Beachy, look at that, man. That's crooked like that. You ever had them do that? It's like they just get a joy about it. Only reason they do that is because he's a perfectionist. People want to find fault with me because I preach the word and preach the gospel. They want to find fault with Brother Pike for they could turn away and go back to the ball games. For they can go over to the Braves stadium and do their tomahawk chopping or whatever they do over there. That's what they want to do, brother. Men that sit under a man of God like that. And then they're in a Braves stadium. And they're out playing ball and playing baseball and fighting and all kinds of stuff. And drinking and snorting and smoking. And they think that they're children of God. They want to talk about the revelation of Jesus Christ, talking about the doctrine that we can't sin. Come on. It ain't going to happen. They're going to burn the most hideous damnation possible when you turn away from this and you turn away from doctrine and you turn away from revelation. You will burn the most hideous, the most damnable death ever. I mean to tell you, just having your head cut off would be a heaven. It would be. Because you think, man, head cut off is done, over. No, it ain't like that. Like Brother Pike said, he's seen them peeling the skin off of them while they were alive. He said they're peeling the skin, the chenou off of them, and watched them scream and yell, and they just pulling it right off where they're living and screaming. Come on now. Brethren, God have mercy. Amen. This is the love of God going forth here. Amen. Amen. You love him? Amen. All right, let's go down to Matthew 18 for a moment. Y'all got a minute? Amen. Preacher's wearing himself out tonight for the allowances he's made, calling it mercy, calling it grace. Matthew 18:6, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him to put a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he was drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to the man by whom the offense cometh. Pretty strong exhortations, amen. Let's go to Romans 14, verse 20. It says, for meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything. Nor what? What did it say? Anything. Anything. Come on, saints. Whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. I'm going to read 21. I'm going to read 20 and 21 one more time. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. You see, there's things. You know, brother, I'm dealing with some ministers and some different things, and we have differences. They're reproving me because I allow the ladies in this church to trim their hair. And their doctrine, I mean, this man says, aren't you concerned, Brother Rob, for their soul? Aren't you concerned for the sisters in your church for their soul? You're allowing them to cut their hair and they'll go to hell, brother. Now let me tell you something. If I went to that brother's church, it would be an offense for me. I would be wrong, according to the scriptures and the word of God. I would be wrong to take the doctrine that I teach here to his church and to his people. And you go into a brother's church that's apostolic or that is in that doctrine and you tell them, see, y'all's wrong. You're in error. You have no business talking about that. It's one of the things I hate about social media. Brother Branham said many times to his congregation, I'm talking to you, this is for you. It's not for them. The Bible said not to remove the landmarks. And then we've got to keep the traditions of the elders. There's a place that talks about traditions of men that we don't keep, but it said the tradition of the elders. These things are traditioned us. And this again, what I told the man about the cutting the hair, I said, brother, you would be in gross error. This is a standard that this church has kept for many years, many, many years, probably 60, 70, 80 year doctrine. And I said, you'd be in error to turn from it. You'd bring much problems and complications. You see, brethren, a lot of times it's not a matter of crossing the T's and dotting the I's of the Word of God. It has to do with traditions. Things have been said before us. Some things we don't want to say. What's it saying to us? You know, I got the liberty to eat meat. That's what it said. But if it offends my brother, it said if anything does, but if it offends my brother, I can't do that. And some of us just don't care. Well, I got the doctrine. I got the liberty to drink wine, man. I don't care what he says. They go off out in restaurants and town drinking wine and stuff, and they're nothing but bringing reproach to the house of God. And they think that they got liberty to do that. They think they got liberty to cause others to stumble. They think they got liberty to cause others to fall away from this. And they want to project themselves like, man, I got the anointing of God. I got the Holy Ghost, you know. I got the revelation of Jesus Christ. You can't do that because you're weak, but I'm strong. No, I don't work that way. You could see the strength when they lose homes and families and children and prosperity and lose things like that. That's when you know it ain't God and God ain't pleased with it. Amen. Let's walk in the counsel of God. Let's walk in uprightness with God. Let's press our way into the kingdom of God. Let's quit looking for our fleshly liberties. Let's quit looking for those things and seek the counsel of the living God. Let's do like we did tonight, find time to get to church early and pray together and draw nigh together and call the name of the Lord out together and say, Lord, we're going to mean business. We're going to save some souls. We're going to help some people and lead them. Amen? You know, they used to take a shepherd, you know, if the little lambs kept going off straight, they'd actually break the leg. We're going to have to start trusting God, brethren. We find ourselves being offense to the mind and to the Word of God. Amen? Resistance. What is resistance? What does it mean to resist? So many times we say, draw nigh unto the Lord and resist the devil and he'll flee. Resist the devil and he'll flee. But we have to draw nigh unto God. A lot of charismatic people, Brother Bo, and I'm sure you've seen this over the years, they'll be out there and they, get you behind me, Satan. I take authority over you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And you know, that devil sitting there just got a smile on his face. He's just smiling back saying, yeah. You see, I've mentioned so many hundreds of times about the seven sons of Sceva. You know, and the Spirit speaks and says, the Apostle Paul I know, and the Lord Jesus I know, but who are you? You know, and the devil will just mock you and talk back like that to you. Who do you think you are? See, this is what happens with condemnation. You see, let me tell you something. One of the most terrible things about condemnation isn't what it does to you. It's what it does to others. Because you find the anointing, the will, the wisdom, the mind of God for a subject matter come to you. And all of a sudden you go trying to speak the authoritative word of God to somebody and the condemnation comes and you feel unclean to speak it. Well, I can't say, I know, brother, but please, man, that's condemnation. But there's no condemnation in Christ to them who don't walk after the flesh. I hear people that go out and party and dope, I ain't under condemnation, man, I'm in Christ. They ain't in Christ. When you're in Christ, you're in Christ, and He's in you. And when you're in Christ and He's in you, you are full of Christ, and you are full of His holiness and His power, amen? And when you take authority and speak to a man that's walking in sin, you speak authoritatively in the gospel of Christ, not in yourself, in Christ. Amen? You say, well, I know the Bible said, if I judge Him, I bring judgment on myself. You're exactly right. But that's why we walk, not by the flesh. When you're walking in the flesh and you bring judgment to a man, you bring judgment on your head. But when you're walking in the Spirit and you bring judgment to a man, it's the love of God. The love of God. Because like I said, it's love, brethren. It's love for a man to have to drag himself in or being carried in crutches or stretchers. If they bring a man in here in stretchers, it's the mercy of God that he could be in the house of God instead of being carried in by men in a box. And some preacher lie about how good they were. Oh, he's in a better place. You can let him know where that man's soul's at, and you ain't going to reach him that way. So I'm not saying that preachers just need to be honest, say, yeah, this guy's in hell. You want to go there with him? I like preaching a service when it's a saint of God that you know and endured all the way to the end. Amen? You take a man like Andy's granddaddy, a man that, pressed and pushed and loved the Lord, say, oh man, I knew he had problems. Well, so do you. But maybe one day we might get to rejoice in the Lord when you could make it in. Amen? Brother Allie Beach, I'll tell you one thing about that man. He was sincere. And he loved the Lord and he loved people. And he gave his life all the way to the end, trying to help and make himself available to the work of God. That's commendable. Amen? And that's the kind of man that's going to stand before the Lord and he's going to enter into well done. Enter into the reward. Amen? Those are the kind of people that you rejoice in the Lord. I used him as an example to an individual the other day because this woman had been a saint for many years in the house of God. And she was dying of cancer. And there was nurses and stuff getting saved while they watched her suffer in cancer in the hospital. But, there's mockers and ones that'll come in. And some of these devils come and say, well, where's their God at? Let me tell you something, brother. There's many great, powerful, anointed men of God that come down to the end of their days, amen. That don't mean that God isn't on the throne, amen. They walked in demonstration and power. And God may allow some of them to suffer like Brother Atlee did. And it shows the onlookers that seen the man blessed, seen the man fed, seen the man in health, seen the man in strength. They seen an elderly man work hard. They seen him work and work and work and had health, had his family. But they got to watch him bury his wife and he still praised God. And then they watched him when his health failed and he still praised God. When the hospice nurses came in, he still testified God and his healing power and his healing virtue. He never was moved by the affliction in his flesh. He stayed steadfast, speaking the profession of God's word, speaking about the word. And you say, well, why wasn't he healed then? Brethren, he was healed and walking in heavenly places. Amen. When the ignorant mind would sit there and say the those kind of things is the one that's bound and crippled. You understand that? Let's press. Let's press. Let's push. Let's fight. Let's persevere. There's people that God's putting in our lives and our presences that are lost. And we need to be serious about this. You know, you hear me saying, well, Brother Rob, I just don't say you can say they're glad they're gone. I'm not saying that I would have been more glad if they would have repented and stayed. But in the condition that they're in, I'm glad they're gone. If they're not going to submit, they're not going to line up, and they're not going to walk in the council and be part of this brotherhood, then they don't need to be here. You understand that? Brethren, I know how brethren think. When I was a brother at Bethlehem, we got together, we did church jobs together, we'd done things together, and the brethren that wouldn't come out and be partakers with us or weren't working around the grounds of the churches, we numbered them. We knew they wasn't of us. Is that the way we thought there, Andy? Is that the way we thought, Brother Andy? Brother Ed? I know some of you guys weren't there, but I mean, I know how the brethren think. I know how they talked. And you say, well, I just don't think it has to be that way. Well, you think about it however you think it's got to be and go start church where you think it should be. But I'm telling you, I know how brethren think. They walk together. They fellowship together. They labor together. They do exploits under the God together. These are the things that they do because they're a brotherhood and they enjoy it. It brings strength and life and joy. Yes, Jesus had some that come along and it was just there for the loaves and the fishes. They were just there, and Brother George said they were sap suckers. They'd suck the life out of you and never have nothing to offer. If somebody's drawing life out of me, I love that. But it usually puts life in them and then they could give life. It's like life going from one tree to another to get it healthy and then that tree could give life. When you see that happening, you rejoice in the Lord. There's nothing greater than when the virtue leaves my body and I see somebody healed. I see somebody delivered, somebody repaired. Fixed. I love that. But when these are coming around all the time and demanding and demanding and demanding and demanding, always got to have your attention, always got to have your attention, always in need, always in need, always in need. You say, well, that's what physicians are for. And I say, yeah, but the physician wants to see him taking the antidote and applying it and getting better. But when they're not getting better and they're selling the antidote and getting somebody else high on it, and then you're just going to quit giving it to them. Amen? Come on. Brother Pike used to make statements like this. He said, you know, there you go. Put another notch on your belt. Put another notch on your pistol. Now, boy, you're ready. You know, take and run with it now. He used to make statements like that because people would sit and do those kind of things. You get all kinds of people. But you know what, brother? We're unified. We're together. We're strong. We're not going to be moved. We're going to stand together. Messages like tonight are going to unify us and pull us together. You say, reproving Paul openly tonight, right at the beginning of the service, that sounds to me like you're trying to run him off. No, this is what pulls people in. Because they say, you know what, this is it. I'm going to get on board this time. Come on now. We're going to get on board. We're going to stay with it. Brother Greg's had many opportunities, had many failures. I could commend him. I try to commend him every chance I get. He's been doing better than he ever has. Amen? But when I see him get his mind off like this and running off, and then it causes complications for people and businesses and different things. Well, it's all about Andy's business, ain't it, Brother Rob? Absolutely not, but he's one of my brethren. Amen. And it is about his business because his business ain't his business. You know whose his business is? It's God's. He done gave it to God. He's told you all that. He uses it, brethren, for the work of God. He uses it and brings people in that wouldn't last 5 minutes with me. You guys don't know what a jerk is for an employer. I tell you, I worked a lot of people. I've been face to face with them. I had a guy wanted to fist fight with me first day on the job. I'm sitting at a desk getting stuff ready for other men that are working. First day of work. He comes through the door about an hour late, and I watch him coming through the door. I said, I'll just let him. Then he pulls in an air compressor. He brings in all these tools, and I watch him do like that. And I go, what are you doing here? He goes, I'm going to work. I said, you ain't got a job here. He goes, what do you mean I ain't got a job? I said, I told you we start at 7 o'clock, brother. And I said, you need supervision because I don't know what kind of work you're going to do. And I'm leaving here at 3:30 today and you're supposed to be here at 7. And I said, you think you're going to come in here at 8:30 and then you got a job? I said, just go home. And he comes and started cussing me. I said, we can cuss. We can fight if you want. You know, if you want to. But you still ain't got a job here. If it make you feel better to go home with a black eye, huh? That's okay too. But we're going to fight. if that's what you want to do, but you ain't got a job. You know, whooping me ain't going to get your job back, dude. You know what I'm saying? You know, you say it's a jerk. No, it's called commanding. But you know, and I said, I'm going to give you one chance. You go ahead and go home. And I said, instead of me hiring another man and standing in line for this job right now, I'm going to give you one more chance to come back tomorrow and be here on time. You know what? He was on time the next day. That's called order, my friend. And he said, well, I don't think it's necessary. Well, you do it your way. Amen. But what happens? You give a little bit of liberty and a little bit of this. The Bible says this. I'm going to use the Bible. It said you spare them and they become what? A prick in your side. Amen. Huh? That's what they are. And I don't like pricks in my side. Anybody like that? Huh? What do you do when you get a prick in your side, John? Huh? You pull it out. Huh? Well, come on, brethren. Amen. You know that, and you know what the thing is? So we're going to have to start commanding and running our businesses, running the Lord's business. Give your business to God. And yes, we'll find that we're long suffering. We'll find that we've got patience and gentleness. I got to teach these guys, dude. I ain't found that yet. No. What are you laughing about? You love me, huh? Yeah, that's what another guy told me on the phone day when he was asking for grocery money. I love y'all. Got mighty, mighty fine brotherhood here. Brother, this kind of message, we need to take heed to it. I don't want to be on the other side of this message. I want to be on the receiving side. It's either a blessing or a curse. This kind of message is either going to bless you or curse you. It's going to be one way or the other. Christian Temple Church will be the very worst thing that ever happened to you or the very best thing that ever happened to you. Because this is doctrine. This is word. This is absolute. This ain't Brother Rob's ideas. This ain't Brother George Pike's idea. I take and read scriptures to you tonight. The scriptures lay very forth and very plainly what takes place with people when they walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Amen. And the thing is when we open up little opportunities, I say oftentimes the little foxes spoil the vine. And you say, well, I'm not sure if I know what that means. Well, I can say it like this, the little simple allowances. And you know what? I could get on board with them many times. Well, there's really nothing wrong with that. But what happens is the mind that drawed you, that's what the problem is. It's the mind that drawed you to it. You see, as we read the scripture tonight, anything that offends them. And we got to be careful because there's people got different doctrines. Let me tell you something. You know, this generation has no gentlemanness in it. I mean, you know, used to a man would never walk through a door without holding it for a lady if he seen a lady walking up. Man, these punk kids now got their pants hanging off of them and stuff. No respect to men or women. No respect to elders, anything. And brethren, if our children do that or our grandchildren, we're the ones that are wrong. We need to teach respect and decency. You know, there's still men around that think if you're sitting in a restaurant with your hat on, it makes some men ill. My dad used to be, well, he's backed off. He's, you know, because we're such a disrespectful generation. But man, when I was a kid, if I was in a restaurant with a hat on, the next thing I'd be wanting false teeth. They'd be on the floor with the hat. Well, my teeth would be, I'd be needing some false ones. You all think I'm kidding. But you know, sometimes things offend people. The drums in this church offend my dad. He don't think a church has any business having drums. That's him. So should I take him out? You know, one problem is because his hearing has been destroyed from flying, but he could hear the sharp or the harsh, the bass tones, and that's all he could hear. He don't hear the guitars. He don't hear the fiddles. He don't hear the most of singing. And he just boom, boom. He feels like he's in a, was that Indian war dance, I guess. Then when the preacher gets up here and starts preaching, he knows he's in an Indian war dance. Man, they did. They brought war down from heaven, didn't they? Amen. But what I'm saying, brethren, is, you know, even in country music, they didn't allow drums. Did y'all know that? Did y'all know that? They did not allow drums. And it happened to have been my great uncle was the first one to bring drums into the Grand Ole Opry. He's the first one with his Playboys. It's called the Texas Playboys. Any country western guy goes to the Grand Ole Opry as a whoremonger and a playboy. You understand that? When Brother Pike got there to the Grand Ole Opry, he realized that's what it was, and he decided. He wrote the song, I Thought It Over, and I Changed My Mind. Amen. That's all that's there. Amen. All right. Let's stand together. Brethren, I love you. Take heed to what you heard tonight, lest at any time you'd let this slip away. Brethren, let's unify together. Let's pull together. Let's fight together. Let's pray together. Let's stand together. Let's struggle together. Let's push together. Amen? I want to see you, brethren, prosper. I want to see you blessed. Wisdom, the mind of Christ, the mind of revelation. I want to press. I want to push. Y'all love the Lord? How you feel, Brother Ed?
Blessed.
Amen. How about you, Sister Andy?
I feel good.
How about you, Brother John? Everybody's feeling good tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Continue to remember. Pray for my grandson, Drew. You need to be calling his name out, asking the Lord to draw him in. Amen? To draw him in. He's seen a lot of the foolishness of people coming in and out of this work. You know, and that doesn't justify where he's at. I'm not saying that for a reason, but we need to pray and draw him in. We need to pray. You say, well, I'll go get him. Well, go get him then. But I'm just saying you better pray first. You know, one thing I could say about him, and I could stand corrected, but I don't think so, but he ain't been out in the slop of the world. He ain't been out drinking, dope, and partying. He supports this work. He sends his finances. You say, well, that's why you're merciful to him. What makes you think I've been merciful? Huh? You know, you just got to be led by the Spirit. Some could take reproof better than others and rebuke better than others. Greg's been often reproved. You know, and that's commendable that he still comes here and stands. You say, well, he ain't got nowhere to go. What does that have to do with it? I took one and loaded him up on a bus. He had nowhere to go neither. I said, I don't care where you go. I'll buy you a bus ticket and go anywhere in the United States. You tell me where you want to go and I'm buying the ticket. It has nothing to do with how much money a guy's got or if he has a place to go or don't have a place to go. I'll give him enough money. They ain't going to starve for a couple hours. Huh? But if there's a time that a man's going to go from here. And let me tell you, this is what I told the boy when he got here. He didn't negotiate. There was no talking about it. He tried to talk. I said, shut your mouth. And I let him know I was upset, Brother John. I said, shut your stinking mouth. Amen. And you say, would you shut it for him? Yes. You say, I don't see the love of God in that. Well, you just don't know what the love of God is. God said he'll laugh at him on the day of their calamity. That's the love of God. Okay. He took a whip and ran him out with a whip out of the temple of God. Amen. And I'll do the same thing. Brethren, I don't want to fight nobody, but I'm not going to have no devil stand in my face. You understand what I'm saying? It won't happen. Amen. We're not renters. We're not leasers. We're sons of God, and we're helping people. We have a place of a refuge here to give people an opportunity to get on their feet, get prayed up, and get prayed through, and repent of their sins and put their sin behind them. That's what we do here, brethren. We're not looking to make employees. I could care less how good of an employee you are. It does have to do with being a Christian. If you ain't a good employee, you ain't a good Christian. So yes, I am concerned about employees, yes. Don't misunderstand, but we have a guy come here and can produce and make money and do fine and do that. That's not what we're looking for. That's part of what we're looking for. But I'm looking for sons of God, people on fire for the Lord, and people have prayer life. People that talk to God and talk about God. People that witness to people out on the job site and make people say, man, I want to be part of something like that. I want to be part of something like that. I want God in my life. Amen? Saints, somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's sing a song or two and we'll close. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
What a wonder you are.
You love him? I feel the mercy of God, brethren.
Jesus. What a wonder you are. You are so gentle. So kind,
said Mama.
Said. And you shine. bright morning star. Jesus, what a wonder you are. Jesus,
can you feel the presence of the Lord, saints?
You are.
The altars are open.
You
ought to just take advantage of standing in the presence of the Lord. And He's granting access to you to His throne. And you can stand before Him and say, you know, Lord, thank you for being merciful to me, loving me, helping me. Thank you, Lord, for putting up with me. That's the way I pray anyway. I've realized that my best endeavors are just filthy rags. But I allowed Him to clean me and wash me and help me, that He could use this vessel to bring His word. Amen. Amen. Brother Greg, the Bible teaches that if a man's been loose from a wife, not to seek one. You know, the thing is what you need to do is fall in love with the Lord with all of your heart and seek God. You find yourself over here praying with these men and seeking God. If He sees fit for you to have another wife, He'll bring you one, brother. Then you get one that'll stand with you. One that don't beat your glasses off your face. I love Brother Greg. You all think that I don't care for him to talk like him, but sure, I'm tired of seeing a man yielding back to the enemy. He should be the most skilled man we got in here to know the devices of Satan. I'm telling you the truth. He should know. He should know, you know, how they lure, how Satan lures and does things like that. And let me tell you something. A Holy Ghost-filled, Spirit-filled, virtuous woman ain't going to be inviting a man from some other state over to see her anyway. I'll tell you that. She is not no Spirit-filled woman going to be talking to some man like that. You know where Spirit-filled women will find a man at? And they don't go there looking for him on the face, praying to God, seeking the Lord, talking to Jesus, amen. That's what will happen. Amen. Come on now. That's good marriage counsel, brother. Paul, would you help him? He said, I don't know. Amen. Hannah, that's how young ladies find a virtuous man that'll love them and help them, by praying. Coming to the house of God, praying and seeking the counsel of God. And He'll lead her and bring a man that'll submit, subject, and love her and the Lord. Amen. With all their heart. Amen. I'm going to say this and I'm closing, I promise. I say a lot of things publicly and openly. I had a man in this church one time and I rebuked him openly and he said, I want to talk to you outside. And he said, brother, he said, don't you ever do that to me again. And I said, I didn't do that. I said, that was the Lord. And I said, if you want me to tell you I'll never do that again, I won't do that. Because I said, I'm a minister of the word. And open rebuke is better than secret love. But sometimes when people allow foolishness in their own lives, it reproaches the ministry. And people say, you know, the Bible said if that man was called of God, he'd turn people from sin. And they question the ministry. So the ministry brings them front and accountable and says, hey, I love you, but you need to repent and get right with God. Are you hearing me, saints of God? Amen. Preachers don't do that stuff no more, Edward. They don't. If I ever called you Edward before, you must be in trouble. Is that what Mama called you when she was in trouble? Does Mama call you that when you're in trouble?
You
don't want to. Okay. Oh, boy. Y'all love the Lord.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.